If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Crane kick you in the nuts. Welcome everyone to the Completely Unnecessary Podcast for Tuesday, September 8th, post Labor Day 2020, alongside friendly Ian Ferguson.
I'm real friendly.
Curmudgeon-y Pat Contry. Today in the show, we'll be talking about Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity, the Super Mario Direct for the 35th anniversary. EA shenanigans, it's been far too long. Q&A, Patreon poll, whatever else comes up we want to talk about. First, we got wares at ultimatenintendo.com. We got the limited t-shirt. We got the not for resale Blu-ray back in stock. We got the enamel pins, the array of pins going on. And you can order the guidebooks. Or if you're in Europe, you can go to pukapukagames.co.uk and order Super Nintendo books in the European theater. I was saying at the European theater, like it's a war game there. And check out the new Flea Market Madness if you have it. It's still up there. It's doing well. Just want to give it a boost there. Ian, how was your Labor Day weekend? Did you labor during the Labor Day weekend?
I labored a little bit. I did labor during the Labor Day weekend. And
is that what it's for? Are you supposed to work more Labor Day
weekend? Yeah, that's exactly what it's for. It was dumb. It was dumb because SDG&E is dumb. Our local power company in San Diego. Our power shut off at Luna four times on Saturday. It just went off and then right back on, but still that was really annoying. Kept us from doing anything really on the computers that would, you know, require accurate numbers. And then Sunday the power went off at 1:30 and we left. It was too fucking hot. We closed and went home at like 2:30, 2:45. Power didn't come back on until 6. So it it was dumb.
And they do that because they prevent from fucking things catching on fire, basically, because it's too hot. Everyone's using it. The fucking lines and grids can fucking burn up because California's on fire right now because it's another hot freaking summer more than usual. Last year wasn't as bad as this. 2 years ago was bad. And hopefully it cools down because like, there's so many freaking fires going on. The gender reveal party in San Bernardino, someone started. Did you tell me that was 2 years ago?
I told you, 2 years ago. In 2018, same thing happened. Yeah, another fucking gender reveal party. Stop being so fucking lame, people.
No one cares about
it. No one gives two shits.
And it's a sex reveal party, but you don't want to call it. It doesn't sound as good. But no one gives a shit about the sex of your fucking kid.
Yeah.
No one fucking cares. Just call people on the phone and say, hey, it's going to be a boy. That's fine. Good enough. Or have potluck. Have a few people come over, wear your mask, and then fucking eat some food and have a cake. Just do the cake thing. Do the cake thing with a blue colored inside of it. It's going to be a fucking boy or whatever the fuck. Like that. You don't need fireworks and pyrotechnics.
No, as people put it, celebrating the fucking genitals on your kid is a goddamn weird thing to do.
This wasn't
a
thing in other generations, was it?
No, this is a millennial thing. We did not do this until like this.
This is a millennial thing.
5 years ago.
Fucking millennials. All right.
I'm a millennial. You're a borderline millennial.
I'm still a millennial. I'm in between. I'm the ex-millennial.
Don't be a fucking old person who says millennial.
I know. But no, you can criticize your own generation.
Well, yes. It is a millennial thing.
It's the avocado toast thing. It's along that line where it's fucking dumb. Just like...
I made really good avocado toast the other day.
I guess the moral is...
It was an accident.
Don't do any shit to start a forest fire. How about that? Anything that could... During climate change and no rain for fucking months and heat wave and temperature records, don't do anything that could burn up a fucking 1,000 acres. How about that? That's reasonable. Don't burn up 1,000 acres.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's not like it comes back quickly. Burn up a forest.
I read someone made a tweet that was funny, but it was just like crashing a tanker full of pink oil into the coral reef to celebrate the sex of my child. Like, what
enough.
One cares.
Enough. I mean, it's insane.
It's also selfish and self-fucking serving.
Well, they're going to go to either prison and or get fined because...
Yes, I hope so.
People need to be made an example of. Frank was telling me a story about there was one huge fire that happened within the past 10 years. It was a hunter that lost his way. So he set off, I guess, a road flare he had on the ground and burnt up a whole fucking forest. This hasn't come back yet. So he's still in prison for that. Not to go on a tangent, I have less and less faith in humanity every single year. Like, it's just, my confidence just erodes by the week. And it's just so fucking...
respect for humanity.
Like, I'm humiliated
yes.
to be a human being. We'll just put that one. I'm ashamed. I'll say that. Not ashamed to be a certain nationality. I'm ashamed in general to be a human. I don't think tigers are ashamed to be tigers. They do their thing and they don't fucking fuck up anything too badly. I'm ashamed now. Sorry. What was I talking about? Okay.
So you were talking about old cousin birthday.
Oh yeah. Okay. So my cousin Danny, who I ran into, I hadn't seen him in years, and then I ran into him at MAGFest one year, and he goes, "Hey, I think you're my cousin." I hadn't seen him in like 15 years, so I'm like trying to size him up. I'm like, oh yeah, I think you're my cousin. I recognize the face and the head shape, you know, and the general size. And so I've seen him at a few different conventions, one in Jersey, I saw him at the MAGFest one. By the way, I think they officially canceled MAGFest for, I guess, the few months. It's already going to be 4 months away. They canceled it.
I can't believe they were even thinking about it at this point. They were like running a poll or something like that. I mean, I realize
that people kind of polled them. Should we open?
It was like a discussion thing, and it's like
it's up to you.
I realize people want to like have conventions, but let's not.
Well, they had one this year.
Let's not force this.
They had one this year. Yeah. You know. Speaking of MAGFest, this is right out of the corner. Congratulations on the wedding to our pals Daniel and Alex.
Ah, yes, yes.
Since they live right in the vicinity, not too far away. Mazel tov. Enjoy the cat bowl I got you. The cute little cat bowl shaped with the ears glass. And,
nice.
And their cat Zelda loves it. Anyway, so what was I saying? Oh, the bird. Okay, so we text every now and then on Facebook, my cousin Danny. My cousins on my mom's side are not close at all. Like, I had to ask him, oh, you know, I don't even know how many kids his sister, he has two sisters, I don't know how many kids they have. Like, that's how unclose we are on that one side. I don't know if you're that unclose to your cousins like that, but there's like 12 of us.
No, actually, I kind of regret, like, because I was close to a handful of my cousins, and I still talk to them every once in a while, but we've drifted apart a little bit. But no, I actually like my cousins. I enjoyed hanging out with my cousins. I just, yeah, we all moved all over the freaking country, so I don't see them anymore.
There's 12 of us on the side, because my mom...
It's about how many are on my...
Because there was five. My mom had two sisters and twin brothers. So... So we don't know about each other. We don't get together. We don't talk. It's weird. Then again, my mom doesn't talk.
Holy shit, there's 16. I have 16 cousins
Holy
on my
shit.
Mom's side of the family.
That's a lot of screwing going on there.
That's a lot of kids.
It's funny because I just thought about it. This is how, I guess, generationally it changed. So every sibling, my mom, the first five of them, had at least two kids each. There's 12 of us now, and half of us don't have any kids at all. So you really see how things have changed in like 30 years, generationally, 30, 40 years, how it's like me and my sister don't have kids. And then the one brother doesn't have kids. And then the other boys don't have any kids. I'm just thinking like, wow, it's just really changed. So he sends me the video of this birthday, which is from like November 91, that my uncle, his father took this VHS camcorder, pretty good quality. It must have never been really watched. I digitized it. It's like 8.5 minutes. And it was just interesting because it was the first time I saw a video of us being that young. And I show up, Ian, in the video for 2.5 seconds there's like the little children's den rec room. And what do you think I'm doing in that video, Ian? Just give you a guess.
Playing Nintendo.
I'm playing Nintendo. And it's interesting because I can almost identify the game because they had Snake Rattle and Roll. I know they had that for a fact. So it wasn't Super Mario 3 because I know they had that. But I was told by Danny, oh, we also had Big Nose the Caveman. I was like, how the hell did you have that game? I said, oh, one of the friends gave it to us. I was probably thinking it wasn't that good. What is clicking on here? What's going?
I don't know, but when you, I think you're kicking a cord or something.
Okay. There you go. So, anyway, so I'm playing Nintendo. Chubby, thick, but quick. I was really chubby. Chubbier than I thought when I was 11.
Thick, maybe not quite so quick.
I was always quick.
Oh, okay.
But I was thicker. Then I was quicker. We'll just say at that point.
Thicker than quicker. Gotcha.
And it was just interesting to see myself there. I was wearing my cute little Mets hat. I'll put a little still on the top here. Now I have to. People are like, what does Pat look like when he's, you know, what, huge when he was 11, but playing Little League, wear my Husky pants. Did you ever go back, ever have it, like a video of you when you were a kid? You go back and watch or anything like that?
No, there are very few pictures of me from when I was a kid. Like, pictures of me, there are some of me like up until maybe like 5 years old, and then there are like no pictures of me from like the age of like there's like no pictures of me through my teen years. There's just not many around, and then pictures of me start to show up again in my early 20s, and then
pink hair at that point,
there's some red colored hair there. And then, I think the only reason pictures exist to me now is because of phones. I was very good
at... Well, now we take too many pictures.
Yes, I was very good at avoiding cameras for most of my life.
Yeah, we don't get pictures, like, printed anymore, or there's no more, you know, photo albums, unfortunately, unless you, like, make them on iTunes, the digital ones. Now we take too many pictures where they don't mean anything. They used to mean something specifically, and now they're like, well, we take 1,000 every other day, so now they don't individually mean anything anymore. So that's an interesting cultural sort of... sociological question to ask about that, the value of like saving memories, how that's changed. Anyway, end up having kids because no one has kids anymore. Birth rate's down. Anyway, so I want to bring up this topic because this is annoying, and this is on my trend of not caring about wrestling, because I tell you every few years I stop watching wrestling. Now I'm like kind of out of wrestling again, and I think COVID helped.
I'm so out of it, I don't know that I'm ever going to go back. That's how
you always
out of
come
it
back. It's we'll like Godfather see. 3. You'll come back.
We'll see.
You'll come back. But I think the thing with what happened with COVID was like, okay, now the illusion's gone because now there's no audience, so now it's like real world. Like, it's hard to pretend it's like what it's supposed to be doing, like pretending to be a sports event. You know, it's too the real life bled into the unreality, if that makes sense, at least for me. So that was part of it, and plus I'm just sick of the bullshit. And it's more WWE. AEW is doing fine from what I hear. I catch little bits and pieces of that, but WWE is just, I'm fucking over it and I'm done with it. And this story is one of the reasons why, because it's run like a fucking carny circus still with Vince McMahon at the top. And I'm just fucking sick of it. Like, I honestly
want him to fall into a vat of beans and never reemerge. Like, yeah, it's like that's how I want him to go out.
The Bush's baked beans, McMahon
stuff. He died.
I'll eat my way out.
He died in the beans. Anyway.
I honestly don't think I want to watch again until he's not in charge anymore. I think I'm almost going to draw that line where once he's officially gone, I will start watching.
I said that when the Saudi Arabia stuff went down, and I've stuck to it.
Oh, good. Good for you.
We were paid to do that one with WrestleMania. I think that was post-Saudi Arabia. But I think that's the only wrestling I've watched.
We were paid to do WrestleMania?
Well, we had to do that ad. Remember, we had to do the WrestleMania ad for...
Yeah. We did a WrestleMania ad?
No, we... The wrestling game. We did that. We watched WrestleMania, and we talked about WrestleMania, and we did the ad for the wrestling game.
Oh, we did for to promote
yes.
the
okay.
To promote
I'm not
the,
fucking crazy.
To promote the crazy arcade. We did. We're paid for that. I don't remember that now. Was that like a year and a half ago?
Anyways, that's the only wrestling I've watched. The only WWE I've watched since the Saudi Arabia shit was that.
I don't remember that at all. Are you sure we were sponsored
yes.
for that?
Yes, we were sponsored for that.
Are you confusing that with Retromania Wrestling?
That's what I'm saying. We were sponsored to
WrestleMania. That was like 3 years ago.
Okay, then that was prior to Saudi
ago.
Arabia.
Okay.
Anyway,
I was thinking you said we were sponsored for that crazy one where you fucking fight alligators or something. That's what I was thinking of. No! Retromania Wrestling, a fine wrestling game
yes,
coming out
a
on
fine
Switch
wrestling
Steam.
Game.
No, that's fine. Go support Retromania Wrestling. You made it seem like WWE paid us. I was like, what are you talking about?
No.
Yes, because we were going to cover WrestleMania anyway. We cover WrestleMania almost every year. This year, we kind of like,
I did not.
We
did not.
Yeah. The Rumble still kind of draws me back to see the surprise of who shows up that's past their prime.
I haven't even watched the Rumbles. Man.
I think I caught the Rumble this year, but I don't remember a thing that happened. Okay, so this was shitty, but they clarified. WWE told their wrestlers they had 30 days to stop basically using third-party platforms like Cameo, YouTube and Twitch, because they were, you know, using likeness in their names. And at first, people were like, what the fuck? What's going on here? They've clarified it now, because at first it was insane because you could not enforce it. You cannot enforce someone to go off and do like Cameo videos. Say, hey, you know, I guess their fear at the time was that they didn't want people to use their wrestling names. But that's not originally what came out. Originally, it was like, you can't use these third-party platforms.
Right.
You're making money off of, like, I guess working for WWE, even though, again, they are technically independent contractors. That's how WWE classifies them, so they don't have to, you know, pay them health insurance.
Why is there no law against that? Like, it's just, they're not...
There's gotta be a class action suit. They probably would win, but they have to all team up to do it. You know, they would have
to. It's insane.
Or the state would have to, you know, file a lawsuit, the state level, but they have probably so much pull in Connecticut that they wouldn't do that, like, in Florida. So, originally, okay... So originally, that's what they said. Then they come back and said, it is the control and exploitation of these characters that allows WWE to drive revenue, which in turn enables the company to compensate performers at the highest level in the sports entertainment industry. Notwithstanding the contractual language, it is imperative for the success of our company to protect our greatest assets and establish partnerships with third parties on a company-wide basis rather than at the individual level, which as a result will provide more value for all involved. The talent was previously informed through a letter penned by WWE Chairman and CEO Vince McMahon that they would have 30 days to stop using third-party platforms. The letter allegedly stated, some of you are engaged with outside third parties using your name and likeness in ways that are detrimental to our company. It is imperative that these activities be terminated within the next 30 days. Continued violations will result in fine, suspension, or termination at WWE's discretion.
God, I hate him.
So, I think they see that it's a control thing, because with Cameo, cameo.com/PatContry, with Twitch, obviously, with podcasts, a lot of wrestlers doing podcasts now, that people will come just to see their favorite personalities talk about or just fucking play video games.
Yeah.
It's not because of WWE banner. Now, if they are using the WWE name that's trademarked, yes, that would be a problem. That would be WWE's right to go after them for that. But a lot of these wrestlers aren't doing that. They're just using their own name. That's why if I ever became a wrestler, I'd have my druthers to use my own trademark name, because I can always control it. But a lot of wrestlers can't do that. If you're like AJ Styles or Samoa Joe, you come from 15 years before, and then, yeah, but a lot of these wrestlers coming up the ranks, they give you a name that WWE owns it, unfortunately.
Right.
But you cannot prevent an independent contractor from using another platform that has nothing to do with WWE. Like that would, like, if I got fired by WWE, I would sue them and be like, no. Then hopefully other wrestlers around would have the balls to join the lawsuits. You can't prevent me from doing a shout out on a Cameo. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane to do that.
Yeah.
It's insane. Especially since they probably realize, I can make, you know, $1,000 a day doing shout outs if I'm like Alexa Bliss or whatever.
Yeah,
know?
From what I hear, they're not cheap, the shout outs. And I mean, that's fine. No, like, make your money.
A market? Yeah, do it.
Make your money.
It's like it's like an autograph session meet and greet, basically. You know, a little minute or whatever. Hey, what's going on? Anyway, so when I see stuff like this, I don't want to watch wrestling, because it's how it's run is disgusting still. I just don't.
No, that's a large part of why I don't watch it.
It's nuts. From what I hear and what I see, AEW's run better. They run it more like, you know, they provide, you know, the more help, and it's not this bullshit independent contractor thing they try to get away with, so they don't have to reimburse their talent or, you know, insurance crap and things like that. So, all right. Well, that's all I want to bring up. Cobra Kai, Ian. Cobra forced Kai. You to watch Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai is the sequel series to the Karate Kid trilogy, if you don't count the next Karate Kid, which that's not really in this, or the remake with Will Smith's son and Jackie Chan, which is not really karate. It's kung fu, so I don't understand why they called it that. Anyway, sorry. That movie. It wasn't a bad movie, but it wasn't karate. Anyway, so... Cobra Kai is sweeping the nation right now. It's like number one show on Netflix, and it was weird because the show came out 2 years ago and no one watched, because it was like one of the only shows on YouTube Red or YouTube Premium, whatever it's called now, that wasn't like a stupid like YouTuber doing a trying to do like a series that no one cares about. It was like a real show that should have been on Netflix.
Yeah,
or somewhere
I remember
else.
You talking about it being good, and I remember Adam Square Painter talking about it being good, and some other people. And I it's hard to get me to sit down and watch TV in the first place. I'm not going to go out of my way to get a YouTube subscription to.
Oh, I never did. It was
watch it.
They had the first two episodes free, which is like each episode's like a half hour, so it's perfect. So yeah, the first hour, it kind of gets you into it. There was like a cliffhanger, and then I was like, I'm not paying for YouTube Red to see the rest of this. So they did the first two seasons. It was it was 2018 and 19 on YouTube Premium, and then thankfully Netflix picked them up, and also I think they funded the third season, which is going to come out next year. They already shot it, thankfully, but they're going to hold it for next year. Yeah, it's fantastic. I hate this expression. It's better than it has any right to be, but that's what everyone's saying. Because, like, well, you don't expect a show based upon The Karate Kid fucking 35 years later after the movie came out to be worth a damn, but it's really impressive.
No, especially because I don't hold, like, I don't... So I watched the first five episodes, and I won't... I'm not going to... For people who are experiencing it for the first time, I won't spoil much, but basically... Danny, I think the end of the fifth episode is Danny putting the headband back on at
well,
his
that
home.
That Mr. Miyagi gave him.
Yeah.
He decides to go back to his old karate ways.
Yeah. The first 10 minutes of the first episode, I was like, this is dumb. The second 10 minutes, I was like, all right, it's a little bit better. But then it ends kind of like... It almost seems like by the end of the first episode, it makes peace with the fact that it's going to have to be a little goofy.
Yes.
And
I'm trying to remember the end of the first episode, but yes.
You know, and that's actually something that I think happens a little bit more with as the first few episodes progress. And by the time it hit the fourth episode, I was into it. But it seems like it's kind of feeling out whether it wants to be serious or goofy, or it doesn't. I don't feel like it knew exactly what it wanted to be in its first hour. But it is very good. It's compelling. Vonnie, I think, is actually maybe even enjoying it a little bit more than I was. We had watched three episodes of Castlevania, and then we had watched four episodes of Cobra Kai. That's a lot of fucking TV. That's all half hour stuff. And then she was like, I could watch one more. And I was like, all right, fine. We'll watch one more. And then I'm going to bed. So it definitely does have that popcorn-y, binge-y quality to it.
Yeah, because again, they're like half hour episodes. They're not a full hour. So it's like, wow. So the first season is like a 2.5 hour movie, basically. And so is the second one. They're only 10 episodes. And what's amazing about it, well... It starts with, you know, the antagonist. If you don't know, the
10 episodes would be 5 hours.
Pat math is off.
Five hours? Yeah. 10 episodes is about five hours.
It was 5 episodes, it'd be 2.5 hours. I was thinking about you did 5. That's
yeah, I did 5.
My brain is fuzzy this morning. I had weird dreams where a guy was in my backyard in a gorilla costume. It was really weird. Anyway, so it's Johnny, who was the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know, villain of the first movie. The quintessential asshole high school bully character. And he did that in a couple of movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
William Zabka is the actor. He was also in The Equalizer, I believe. He was like the son on The Equalizer. That's all I knew him from. So he's the main character slash half-character along with Daniel LaRusso. Ralph Macchio comes back. So it's really like half and half. The more you watch, the more it becomes a half and half.
Right.
Yeah. It's split down the middle.
The first episode is very much...
Johnny.
Is very much Johnny. And it's interesting because it almost frames Danny as the bad guy.
Sure.
But the second episode goes into Danny a little bit more. It makes him a bit more sympathetic. What's interesting, I think, about the show, the thought that I walked away with last night is it's, with the exception of, like, a couple of the kids, and not all of them. It is a show that tells an interesting story with a bunch of characters that are all, in various ways, very unlikable.
Yes, absolutely. And you'll see that more with... I won't give it away what happens in season two. There's one character that's in season one that radically changes for season two, one of the kids. And you're like, holy shit, you know, the show went there. So, not to get into a lot of the themes, but there's a lot of themes about social class... It plays a huge part of it, and it's interesting because it reverses from the first film. So in the first film,
Ralph Macchio's character is poor. He's from Jersey. They come from Newark, New Jersey, or Elizabeth, around there. They're poor, working class, and then Johnny's rich. He's like the rich kid. So that's upended in this series. It's upended.
Right.
Entirely. Now, Johnny's hard as luck. You know, he's trying to put up drywall and put a TV up.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to get by. He's drinking beers left and right.
Yeah.
You know, the little Coors bottles. That's his thing.
Yeah, the little banquet bottles.
Do they still make those?
Yeah, they do.
My grandfather used to drink little bottles, but it wasn't that. Oh, God, now I can't remember the name.
I think you're thinking pony bottles, like the little splits, the 7-ounce bottles.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
But now they have, you know, Ralph Macchio now in this series is, he's like the big man now. He owns these dealerships. He's the big car guy. He's famous now. So it's, and he has the big house. He has the family.
Right.
He's now the upper class. And so it's really interesting how it goes from there. And at first, yeah, Danny's portrayed as, you know, he's portrayed as the asshole. And then it's sort of, it evens out. You see that neither of these characters are perfect. They have good and bad qualities to them, which I was not expecting it to go that route. I think, okay, they're going to stick with Johnny being the main protagonist. Then, no, it's 50-50. And now they both have, you know, of course you have the tropes of, and it's more in season two, how the coincident bullshit. Oh, they both happen to show up at the same restaurant together. And then it happens with the kids like, oh, you know, we run into them at the party. And it's like, I understand that's how you write these things, but it happens a little bit too much. But that's all the only complaint I have. The fight scenes are choreographed well. They more realistically, they don't try to like teach. Like Johnny's character is set in his ways, obviously from the '80s. He's more like politically incorrect. You know, he's making fun of the kid for having his you know, peanut allergies. It's not real, but they don't shame the character for that. But they don't say it's right that he's, so they just leave it there. That's how he is. He's
right.
A good guy. We'll just leave it there. And the kids try to, it's funny because the kids try to correct them, but they know it's like a lost cause. But he still cares about the kids that eventually, as you see. So it's really endearing redemption to this character that's one of the most hated villains in movie history. And you see things from his perspective about, no, wow, Danny was an asshole. Like when you go back and watch those movies, and there's a part in season two when he retells what happened, or maybe at the end of season one, he retells events from his point of view. It's like, yeah, then this old guy beat the shit out of all of us. And when Mr. Miyagi came in and helped save Daniel after the Halloween thing.
Right.
And from his perspective, yeah, this old guy came and fucking fucked us up.
Right.
And like really hurt us badly. It's like, oh, I could see that, even though you were wrong for trying to beat up, you know, Daniel there. It's just very interesting. And I wish you had seen all of season two, because I have a feeling you're going to go back and watch it with Vonnie, because there's major things that happen in season two. You're like, holy shit. Like, I can't believe they went there. And I don't want to spoil it for anyone. So.
Well, we'll see.
I'll spoil this, though. It does build up to the All Valley, you know, event at the end, the tournament at the end of season one. I mean, you see that coming, though. That's what it's going to be.
Oh, sure. I kind of figured that's what was going
to
happen.
But it's interesting to see how it progresses and how the characters change. Even the high school kids, even the ones that start up nice, some of them turn into assholes, and vice versa. So it's really interesting. You see the effect of the dojo and things like that. So check it out, Ian. Cobra Kai's 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's sweeping the nation.
So just in amusing news, people always talk about Doom running on everything. Amusing Twitter, however, Foon, F-O-O-N-E, they do a lot of tweets about tech, old computers, things like that.
Programmer likes to reverse engineer things, according to this Mashable article.
Interesting hardware, all that kind of stuff. Over the weekend, had been screwing around with a pregnancy test that had an LCD display on it, and at one point replaced it with, I'm not exactly sure, I think they said it was a 1 It is a 128 by 32 pixel monochrome display that fits inside the pregnancy test. And they were just like, they were joking and running and, amusing videos on it. And at one point they made the joke about, you know, playing Doom on the pregnancy test, and they had played back a video of Doom being played on it. Well, they actually went a step further, and it required putting, it's got, basically, they put the screen in there, and then wires coming out of the pregnancy test onto a smaller computer that a different micro processor. CPU that wasn't in there.
So it's cheating this.
Or cheating it, but still, then got a visual of them playing Doom on it, actually playing Doom on it using a wireless keyboard, and it's funny because
the display is cute though, because it's like little dot white dots.
Yeah, it's
but it's playing, like, that's the first stage.
It's amusing, but it's definitely the first stage. And it's funny because it's unmistakably the first stage. Like, that is so burned.
When he fires
into
a pistol at the two the two guys.
Yeah,
and you see the flash of the gun.
Yeah,
because at first you're like, what is that? Oh, there's the gun flash. Okay,
so it's pretty cool. But yeah, I would actually suggest following them on Twitter. Their Twitter is always amusing. They go on deep dives about a lot of that stuff. They also do a lot of funny AliExpress threads on like the weird sex toys and
bullshit.
Shit that you can find on
that'd
there.
That'd be a fun thing to see. I mean, there's probably tons of stuff there that you would never dream of.
So yeah, definitely someone I enjoy following. But yeah, it was funny to see this. They also had what I thought was funny. They had the stupid little dancing baby dancing on the pregnancy test. The fucking Ally McBeal baby.
Little, yeah. Okay. Wow, that's like 20 years old already.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Anyways, amusing stuff.
Ian.
Yep.
Xbox and Series S, not Series X, how you love that. Xbox Series S was leaked that this was going to be a $299 console. This is the next gen. And now it was, they were forced to confirm it officially, Microsoft. So yeah, it's real. Xbox Series S, it's the tiny digital only version of the next generation of Xbox. It's only going to cost $299. They said, let's make it official with the eye emoji because they know that it got leaked.
Yeah, so it's $299
out of their mind.
$299, and I believe it's coming bundled with Game Pass. I don't know how much Game Pass for how long. Let's see,
maybe a free month or so.
According to reports about the Series X, blah 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 blah. Series S and Series X will be available on November 10th, so that's what they're saying. The Series S will likely be offered as part of a $25 per month Xbox All Access financing option, making it more attractive from global markets.
Financing? Like it's a car? You pay $25 a month?
Yeah.
Did they ever do that before?
Yes, they did. There is
out a loan.
There was an Xbox One that you could finance. I'm pretty sure it was also a digital only.
How much more is the finance? Like $50 or $100, probably. Or is
yeah,
it-
no idea.
They repo your Xbox. They
nice. Well, I can't find anything about it being bundled with Game Pass. So okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's what we're thinking, though. Maybe.
But anyways, I have to admit, as much as I hate the name, $300, and even if Game Pass is not bundled, $300 digital only, you put Game Pass on this, it's a fairly attractive package.
We know better packages here.
And we sure do.
Manscaped.com.
Manscaped.com.
Use code CU Podcast.
Zoom, zoom. I am not necessarily... It doesn't do anything to convince me that I need an Xbox, or really that I need any next-generation system right away.
Not in the first year, probably.
But especially the Microsoft ones, because they keep talking about how there's going to be no exclusives, you know, right away. But I do think if you are... Look, it is an attractive price point for it if you are comfortable being digital only. I have more interest in the PlayStation 5. But it's going to be really interesting to see how they fire back on this.
Sure.
They are doing... now, we do know that PlayStation 5 is doing a digital-only model as well. When they announced the PlayStation 5 and they showed the form factor of it and all that, they did announce that there's going to be a digital-only model and a traditional disc-based model. So it'll be interesting to see if Sony tries to bring their digital-only model into this price point range.
Sure. So let's just go over it real quick. Like, this is this is going to be not the same horsepower as the Series X. It's going to be like the midway point.
Right.
So it's not going to be full 4K resolution. It'll be 1440p up to 120 frames per second. So for most people, that'll be fine, especially if you don't have a 4K TV. Like, who cares? 5 to 1080p TV, that's fine. That'll be fine. They'll have the ray tracing, variable rate shading, variable refresh rate. Games will be upscaled to 4K. So even if you have a 4K TV, they'll at least be upscaled. And 4K media playback is confirmed. One major downgrade is the solid state drive. It'll only be half a terabyte, 512 gigs. That's it. So you're not getting the whole kit and caboodle. But for a lot of people, this might be fine just to do this.
Yeah.
Because the other one might be $500 or more, or $600. So
right.
This is the budget option, which might satisfy people. It's like, yeah, well, there's no drive. There's no, I mean, this day and age, you're going to have it going forward. You're going to have the digital only versions. That's the way the reality is going to be going forward. I don't think you're going to get rid of it entirely, but you're going to have your cheaper version.
Yeah, and like I said, when we talked about the PlayStation 5, I enjoy physical media for certain things. I like to collect records. I will always, keep around my PC Engine stuff. My Game Boy cartridges are small. And I like to buy, the physical stuff for Switch when I can. But for whatever reason, for PlayStation 4, I went almost completely digital with that system. I know that there's a lot of people who listen to this who will be, especially friends of ours who work in physical media, who put out physical media. But it's not always the biggest deal for me. So yeah, this is kind of attractive, but like I said, I need to see what Sony fires back with.
The one thing they're not sure about if it's going to be able to expand it with your own hard drive. The Series X, it says there's a custom port, you can do that. They're not sure in the Series S yet.
If you can't, then that's kind of a killer.
Sure, because a lot of these games are hundreds of gigs.
Right. Yeah. We're getting the, when they released the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, 500 gigabytes even then was like,
unless there's like a smart,
we were getting a little weird. I mean, that was tight. I mean, stuff like Doom was coming out at 80 gigabytes, and we're like,
unless it's like a system where you have two games fully installed at one time, then you got to delete it and install the other one,
right?
Which some people, that's probably how they game anyway. To be honest, they're going to play the one game, complete it,
sure,
play another game, and then unless there's just also a smart feature where maybe if you expand it with a regular hard drive, old spinner hard drive, where it's smart enough to know, okay, this is the stuff that needs to be loaded on the solid state. We'll put that there. You know what I mean? Partition right. out. Maybe. I don't know if they do that with current programs or not. I don't know. But either way, when I see this, what I think of, Xbox is selling like a cheap little computer. That's how I kind of look at it. It's a $300 little computer that's focused on gaming that if I don't want to spend a fucking $800 on a new graphics card, I'll spend $300 on the Xbox.
Sure.
Right? And I can still play, the same games.
Yeah. We'll see how quickly it starts to lag behind on some things, but I have a feeling that this is going to be a generation where they're still going to be developing mostly for the lowest common denominator in their library.
Because this is the Steam machine's never really caught on, right? This is like a souped-up Steam machine. To me, a Steam machine, but you're... It's Xbox. You can also play Windows 10 software that will be on there, going back and forth So, yeah, I'm like, this is a big deal. I just think it's a bigger deal right now than what people might think.
I don't think
the price point.
I think the price point is great, but I think the dulled down features. I don't think it's the coup that maybe you think it is, but I do think it's a. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Well, it's a coup if the cheapest PlayStation is going to be $500 or sure. $600. Then it's like, okay, now I understand PlayStation is going to actually have exclusives planned for next year. But
that's where, if we assume that everything is going to have an equal amount of good stuff to play, then yes, this is a coup. But if there's nothing to play on it that is exclusive, I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal.
You don't think even $300 less at all? Okay.
But you are, I mean, you are correct in a way. I mean, that is how Microsoft got the edge in, what was that, generation 7. I mean, Sony came out and was like $600 and then flexed down like it was like people were going to drop the 600 like it was no problem. And Microsoft had the Xbox 360 at 300 or 350. And for the first half of that generation, the PlayStation 3 may as well have not existed.
Sure.
It wasn't until it had received multiple price cuts that people even started paying attention to the PS3.
So, okay. Well, there you go. So this holiday season, you can get a Switch for $300. Now the Xbox Series S or the Galaxy Purple Amico at $300. So it's your choice how you want a game for $300. What sort of value do you want to get out of this?
It's $250. Oh no, the Galaxy Purple is $300. Yeah.
Between $200 and $300, Ian. All right, Ian.
Pat.
I woke up this morning out of my weird dream where in the backyard someone was breaking into my house wearing a gorilla costume. I had to call the police. While that was happening, and my mind was still gelling into reality, I saw announced from Nintendo Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. Like, wow.
Wow. So
wowie wow.
I'm sort of excited for this. So Age of Calamity is going to be a prequel story to Breath of the Wild. So it will be the pre-apocalypse to Breath of the Wild's post-apocalypse.
But they explain in the story, yeah.
It should, Jesus Christ, my brain just, like, went, just shut down for a second.
Join the struggle that brought Hyrule to its
We're
knees.
Back.
Learn more about Zelda, the four champions, the king of Hyrule, and more through dramatic cutscenes as I try to save the kingdom from calamity.
The rolling blackouts reached my brain.
The Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity game is the only way to firsthand see what happened 100 years ago.
So, this is being developed by, Tecmo Koei. They do all the, Dynasty Warriors games. So that's what Hyrule Warriors is. Basically, Shin Sengoku Musou, or Sengoku Musou is the hack and slash series made popular by Koei. And the original entries kind of focused on, from what I understand, like the Romance of the Three Kingdoms sort of era of stuff. So like the
medievalish sort of...
The era of Chinese history with larger-than-life heroes and stuff like that that are sort of based in history, but also not at all based in history. That series was hugely popular. It's all about mowing down wave after wave of enemies.
Third person, you just fucking go nuts.
And it's a series that I'm not like, I don't love. I need an entry in that series every 3 years to scratch the itch. That's kind of how I feel.
You want to wipe out hordes of hundreds of enemies.
I
want to
watch that counter quickly enter the high triple digits.
Like you're Bruce Lee fighting everyone in a dojo.
Yeah.
Just like taking out everyone.
They've done Dragon Quest entries. They've done Fire Emblem entries. And the first Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U was the marriage of...
The what? Wii U?
The Wii U, yes. The Wii U.
I could Google that.
Yeah. And it took the Zelda world and put it in there and shoved it into the Dynasty Warriors mold. There's a ton of unlockable characters, just an absolute shit ton of playable characters in the first Hyrule Warriors. And through the DLC and its various releases on the 3DS and on the Switch, that game is easily... hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of gameplay. Not just the main story, but all the adventure maps. So, like, adventure maps, how they, like, take the overworld map from Zelda 1, and as you go through squares of it, it throws, like, unique, shorter fight situations at you. So instead of going through, like, one big storyline level, you go through these squares, and it brings you have to kill this many of this enemy in a certain amount of time, and you unlock
the challenges.
Yeah,
okay.
And you unlock like treasure and stuff, and you actually kind of like play through the map in a very rudimentary way. So like you can't go to this part of the map until you have these items, and it's a lot of fun the way it does it. There's also crafting. I think you can take each character up to like level 255. Our friend Gerard, I don't know if it's the game he's put the most time into, but he has certainly spent a excessive amount of time.
Hundreds of hours, you said?
And even I have. Like, I'm not huge into Dynasty Warriors, and I'm not huge into Zelda, but for some reason, this game worked well enough for me that I not only bought it on the Wii U, I bought it on the 3DS, and I bought it on the Switch.
It's a peanut butter and jelly situation. They just make each other, complement each other better. This is the type of game that works. And you said you've purchased this three times.
Yes, I have all three versions of the original. So
the
this,
Wii U,
3DS, and Switch.
And the Switch, like, put all the extra crap in it.
Not to, like, just go into full-on advertisement mode, but for $60, you cannot buy a game that will occupy your time, like, bang for buck.
Like Civilization, or you can't stop playing.
Yeah, it's dumb the amount of content that they packed into this. So, yes, we have a sequel coming. It's using the art style from Breath of the Wild.
See, that's what sold me. Because I love the art style in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, the art style in Breath of the Wild is great. But I also kind of liked how silly and nonsensical the story in the first Hyrule Warriors was. It was like, hey, we're all just kind of getting together and fucking stuff up.
Okay.
This, because I have not played Breath of the Wild, I am just slightly less interested.
You haven't played it at all?
No.
Okay. No.
Like I said, I am not, like, huge into most Zelda games. But this is one that, like, I could see Vani being interested in because she loved Breath of the Wild so much. I think this will actually, discounting my weird opinions, I think this will actually help this sell a ton. I think this will do very well.
Yes, because it's tied into Breath of the Wild. You're going to have Breath of the Wild people give this a chance that wouldn't have. Absolutely. I might give it a chance.
And it would be interesting to see if they bring a bunch of the DLC characters in like they did the first time. It'll be interesting to see those characters in this art style. I think it could be fun.
So this is a local two-player co-op. That'll be fun. It challenges players to solve environmental puzzles, unlock weapons and skills, craft with gathered materials, visit shops to obtain items, and use the power of the Sheikah Slate. They're going to bring your iPad into here, your Hyrule iPad. Into here. If you choose to pre-order it, you will receive the Lucky Lady.
Ladle.
Oh, that is an L. Lucky Ladle as an in-game bonus. The Lucky Lady would be a nice DLC character. So you get the Lucky Ladle. So there you go. What I like about how Nintendo, you know, everyone, this was a potential Patreon poll topic about, oh, there hasn't been a Nintendo Direct, there hasn't been a Nintendo Direct. Nintendo doesn't need for there to be a Nintendo Direct to raise awareness of shit. Like, they just don't. We're past that point. Like, this blew up within, like, a 10 minutes of being announced just by them putting it on YouTube and on social media that, oh, by the way, everyone, it's only 2 months away.
Right.
It's coming out. It's done. We were working on this thing for fucking years. You had no idea. And it's done. I love that approach. I love that Nintendo keeps everything close to the vest like that. Like the good old Fire Pro days. Oh, by the way, a new Fire Pro is coming out in like 6 weeks. It's coming out. It's like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I've always... I said that even going back to when they were still doing directs, regularly. They announced something big, like the Fire Emblem they announced was like 6 months away, you know, when they announced it. I enjoy that method of announcing and releasing games far better than, say, the Bethesda method, which was, I think it was two E3s ago, where they were like, and yeah, there's another Elder Scrolls coming, but we're not going to see anything about
it. Yeah, don't even tell me then.
Why bother? We know it's coming.
It's going to be 5 years away.
No, you're just going to stop making entries in your, like, you know, a series that has continuously printed you money. No, of course there's another one coming. Tell us when you actually have something to fucking show for it.
Sure.
One of my favorite game series is the Armored Core series. It's a mech combat series, and from Software released a trailer for like Armored Core 6 like 4 or 5 years ago, and we have seen nothing about it since. I hate that shit. There's no reason to do it. So Nintendo's method of here it comes is pretty good, and I think they're learning from some past mistakes too, because they're currently dealing with the fact that they announced Metroid Prime 4 like 2 or 3 years ago, and then they had to completely fucking scrap
it,
and they had to come out and say that they're restarting it. So I think that they're learning that there is a, especially now with everyone being indoors more, there being less to do, everyone's prickly, everyone's like jumping on anything they can, whether it's positive or negative, it might be best to just, as you said, hold the cards close to your chest and only show them when you know the game is going to be coming out.
There's almost no advantage. If you don't have a competitor, there's no competing Zelda games that are going to be made. There's no advantage to come out 2 years before and say, oh yeah, we're working on this.
Right.
Because then you set yourself up for failure, like with Metroid, where it's like, it's in a big embarrassment. Oh, we fucked up. Now the game is like a year and a half behind. We have to start from scratch.
Right.
Like, that's horrifying to say that publicly. Like, so, that, I can't imagine if that happened to a, like, and that's Metroid. Imagine that was like a Zelda Mario game. Yeah, we fucked up. We hired these assholes that didn't know what they're doing, basically. Like,
yeah.
That will never happen again with Nintendo. You'll never get. Oh, we're the announced that we're working on it trailer. That I can almost guarantee you that they'll never do that again.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Like that. That's what I was describing with like Bethesda and Elder Scrolls.
It's embarrassing.
It was the stereotypical we're announcing nothing. It was literally they just showed the words Metroid Prime 4 or something
like
that.
It was like smokiness or whatever.
Yeah,
there was
literally no graphics, no nothing.
Yeah, you get the fanboys to cheer, but then. What is that? That doesn't translate to anything.
Those fanboys that you get to cheer by doing that are the first ones to go for your throat when you tell them that.
Where's it in the direct? Where's Metroid Prime?
Right. Precisely. There's no benefit to appealing to those people.
No. No. That's not most of the fans anyway. The more reasonable people are like, all right, well, you got something. I'll buy it. You know?
Exactly.
So let's see. What else? Allow players to learn more about Zelda, the four champions, Mipha, Revali, Urbosa, and Daruk. The King of Hyrule through dramatic cutscenes. I think to save the kingdom for the clown. So this is why I like this idea, because no one thought about that. No one said, "Oh, we should do a Hyrule Warriors based upon Breath of the Wild." But I guess maybe, you know, now and then some fanboys might have wanted it. But it makes sense because they're going to do the sequel series, sequel game, direct sequel. But to make this an entirely different gameplay, you know, entirely different genre of game, but tie it in is brilliant. Like it's just brilliant that no one. Like, I guess they came to Tecmo, Koei said, we want to do this game. And they're like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. Let's do it. I mean, that's probably how it sounded.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how far in advance this was. I'm guessing at least a couple of years to do a game of this scale, if not more, maybe 3 years.
Well, I don't think it would take that long. They've got the engine.
They have the assets.
They've got the assets.
Yeah.
They've got the engine. They've got the assets. I'm going to be honest with you here. I don't think that this game took them very long to do.
A couple years at most?
At most. But I think that's kind of... smart on Nintendo's part. Okay, this was a very popular Zelda. We have a sequel to this very popular Zelda coming out. Here's something that is fun and has worked for us in the past that we can probably actually throw together fairly quickly.
And we'll hold you over until the next game.
Yeah, that's the one area where I'll disagree. I think that this probably came together relatively quickly for them.
You're right. I think that if they have all the assets, that's like half the battle.
They have, like I said, they have the assets, and the game engine has been refined for. Right. I mean, the Dynasty Warriors engine has been going through refinements for 20 years now.
Okay, you're right. You know, I will defer to your Dynasty Warriors and past Hyrule Warriors knowledge there.
Thank you.
Because we don't know if the Breath of the Wild sequel is going to come out in a year from now or 2 years. We have no idea.
Right.
Because they haven't said it because they're smart. They haven't said, oh, expect it third quarter 2021. No. They're going to wait until they have a fucking trailer, and it's going to come out like 3 months later or 4 months later. Like, and that'll be it.
Well, they did do a teaser trailer, but at least that had something to show.
What was the teaser?
It showed Zelda and Link walking through like a cave, and then it showed the dead king skull. Face was like,
oh, that's right. That's okay. That's fine.
Spooky.
But it's just okay. But that means they're developing
spooky.
A new
spooky.
Are they sharing like a ice cream cones together? Some custard? No. Anyway, all right. Well, I'm actually going to look forward to this game.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'll be fun. As a matter of fact, I kind of want to go home and start playing more Hyrule Warriors because Lord knows I have not done everything there is to do.
And I know that people are like, oh, Nintendo hasn't really done much this year. Goddamn, they had Animal Crossing. There's a lot of stuff in the pipeline for the next year or two. We know that. You know, there's tons of indie games on the Switch you can play. I don't care if the Switch becomes, well, it's Nintendo first party and tons of indie titles, even if the third party stuff is few and far between. I think it's still enough to keep it going. Obviously they're selling, this is selling like it just came out the system still.
Right.
3.5 years in, we're into this damn thing and it's selling in the mid, you know, it's 40 years old at this point. It's, you know, it's almost time to buy the Ferrari. Go to the midlife crisis. you know. So anyway, we got 2 months to wait for this, Ian. We can do local co-op together. We can experience. I want to experience how much Ian loves Hyrule Warriors. I want to bond with him over this.
Okay. Moving on.
Ian, Labor Day just went and passed. It was great. Had the barbecue. We were cooking the dogs and the burgers. Had some coleslaw. And we were celebrating, enjoying the end of the summer with a Miller High Life. Big or small, there are moments within every day worth celebrating with friends and family. So that's why you can celebrate with Miller High Life. It's the champagne of beers.
Miller High Life is an unpretentious quality beer. That's what I like about it when I'm getting together with friends and hanging out. I like to keep Miller High Life in my fridge. Why? Because it is enjoyed by just about everyone. It's an easy drinking beer. It's accessible to everyone. I think it's one of the better beers you could have for just about any occasion. It's created to bring pride to simple things. It's an iconic brand that you can be proud to hold. The skinny glass bottle is something that everyone recognizes.
Miller High Life, the champagne of beers, a quality beer within everyone's reach. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Okay, so on the heels of things being announced or not announced by Nintendo, they did the Super Mario Direct, the special 35th anniversary for Super Mario, which is coming in October. We don't know the exact date. It's October 2020 from 85, 25 years later, Batman. So they announced this, a few different things that came about. A lot of this was rumored or at least speculated to be things everyone said about. We said this is probably going to happen, doing another set of remastered games. Another release. They did a release on the Wii 10 years ago, the 25th anniversary. They'll probably do a 35th anniversary, and here it is. So they're going to do 3 games in a package that we all pointed these out earlier in the year. We said they're probably going to do something like this. These three specific ones, we said too. I don't think we were wrong. I think we said these three specific ones.
It's Mario 64.
Yeah.
Mario Sunshine, mm-hmm. Mario Galaxy. I was expecting Mario Galaxy 2 on there as well.
But at least these three, we thought these are the three big ones. These are the three big 3D Mario games, obviously.
Right.
So it's going to be $60 for all three. It's called Super Mario 3D All-Stars. So it's upscaled. It looks great. There's soundtracks for all of them. This is September 18th, 2020, 10 days away. So almost the 35th anniversary on the dot. For when it came out, but it, you know, it's in the ballpark there. So what's this conversation? It's almost like this conversation won't be about the games themselves. Obviously, it's cool to see these games, like, you know, remastered. That's cool. I think people are clamoring for them. Obviously, I've never played Sunshine before. I own it, and I want to play Sunshine because it looks like a fun, different type of game.
It's pretty. I liked the first half of Sunshine. I did not like the second half, and it wasn't even so much that it and people will tell you it's very difficult and I'm bad at games, and it is true. It is a very difficult. It is one of the hardest Marios that they've ever made. And I think that's
it is.
Yeah, I don't think that's up for debate. I think if you were to look at people would be like, "Yeah, it's Sunshine." I don't know. It never clicked for me. Mario 64 is not my favorite. I do love Mario Galaxy, though, which is honestly maybe the thing that will push me to get this collection. Also, they announced, real quick before we get into the weird shit, they did announce Super Mario 3D World is getting a port with add-on content called Bowser's Fury.
Okay,
I actually really like that game, and I look forward to playing that more, especially because it was a lot of fun in multiplayer, and the re-release of that, which I believe is due in February, is going to add online support for the multiplayer. So that will be cool. But yes, there is a very weird thing that we need to talk about, yes, with the Mario 3D All-Stars that I can't stand. I think it's just fucking dumb. It's limited. Anyways.
So they're limiting the stretch of availability, like how Disney used to do for their movies, for some reason.
They're straight up pulling a page out of Disney, and they're doing a vault with this. So from the release day of September 18th until April 1st, of 2021, it will be available. After that, they are pulling it off the digital store.
Yeah, so it's not just the fact that, well, the physical one we won't produce anymore. Digitally, we'll just get it out of the store. And I'm struggling to figure out why you ever would do that. Why would you not want to make money off of these things going forward in the future like this? Unless you're going to just repackage them as individual titles and then have them be $30 each, or so.
That's the only explanation that has made sense, and I don't like it.
Or 25 each, so then it's incentive to buy all three in a bundle.
Right. I don't like that, but that's the one thing that people have said that, you know, I think people are kind of overlooking, is just because 3D All-Stars is going away doesn't mean that these versions of the games, these ports to the Switch, will go away. They could, like you said, I think it would be likely that they would charge $30 a piece for them, so that there is definitely a benefit. So all they really want you to do, they want you to buy all three. Yeah. They want you to do it now as opposed to later. They want you to spend the money now, in a period of time where people are maybe not spending money as freely as they normally do. So they're really trying to position this as something that you have to purchase now. They want you to budget that money aside right now, and I it stinks. I think it sucks. I hate it. It's not a good look. With all the weird shit that Nintendo does, a lot of it doesn't make sense. But this is the first time where you look at it and it's like, this really, I can't even begin to understand why you would do this other than as a garbage money grab.
Well, I wouldn't call it garbage money grabbing. I think there's a lot of value in having these three games.
Well, people want the games. I'm just saying, but making it limited is a trashy money grab.
Yeah. I mean, well, limited on digital. I can understand the physical one. Like,
I said it to you.
Yeah.
People complain about that. Every physical object is limited. And honestly, a lot of games get, like, especially with Nintendo on the 3DS, they were bad about it. A lot of stuff got one print run. Like, the Zelda Ocarina of Time got one print run initially, and that game went for way more than it should have on the used market for a couple of years before they did the, whatever they call it, the Player's Choice or the Greatest Hits version. So a lot of Nintendo stuff, at least in terms of physical releases, it's always going to be limited. And honestly, a physical print run window of September to April, that doesn't seem that weird to me. Whatever, okay, fine.
And they always have the option to do more. I mean, that's what happened with the Wii Mario All-Stars one. They printed more.
Sure, exactly. But so, it's the digital version that drives me nuts.
Yes, that drives me nuts. And of course, you don't want to say, you can't, if they word it like the bundle will be available to then people will be like, okay, they get the hint that, okay, these games will still be available. This makes it seem like they're going to wipe them entirely. And I'll, dollars to donuts, I never use that phrase, these will be available. I would be utterly shocked if these three games are not available otherwise outside the bundle after the end of March of next year. I would be shocked. Because there'd be no feasible reason not to have them available in some form. None at all. It would encourage piracy to do that.
Nintendo is good at sometimes,
realizing the error of their ways or walking back a little bit. I mean, like,
well, they are totally fine with selling things that they have put together in a package separately for lots of money. I mean,
they've resold Mario games 17 times.
That's what I was going to say. They've resold Super Mario Brothers for $5 more times than I can possibly count.
On every console, there's been the same Mario games re-released, handheld. So
once these are done and ready to be put on a Switch or on a service or a system, I think that we will see these for far longer than just this time frame, but they will certainly your determination of the value is up to you, but they will certainly charge more than what they are charging now.
Yes, they will. They'll be $25 or $30 each.
Yeah, I think 30 is spot on.
So that's the weirdness of the 35th anniversary collection. I'm glad you're doing that. So for this holiday, you got the 35th anniversary. We'll sell like gangbusters. You had the new Zelda game, Hyrule Warriors game will sell like gangbusters. So, like, there's enough to hold over, like, the Christmas crowd here. But then you have the Super Mario Battle Royale game that was announced. Super Mario Brothers 35. This will also be limited. We'll talk about this. 35 players will compete across the game's levels to be the last player standing or running. That starts October 1st. It'll be available to Nintendo Switch Online subscribers, and it'll end on March 31st. So this is a cool idea because it goes out in Tetris, the Battle Royale, that it's the same thing where like you can transfer enemies and objects to the player's screens. Really, really great idea for a game to do this with Mario. I'm sure there's someone, I think that someone online had an idea like this, but obviously when
they did, and then it got taken down.
Well, now you see why Nintendo's like, hey, come on, you don't think we're thinking about this shit? We can do it better anyway.
And
you
it's nice to see, Fall Guys has done it. Tetris 99 has done it. Mario's doing it. It's nice to see that the Battle Royale concept is being expanded outside of
just
first person shooters. Because at the base of it, I do like the idea of a last man standing sort of game.
Yes.
I think that's kind of fun. I think it's a neat idea, and I think you can work that into a lot of different concepts. So it's obviously cool to see that branching out.
And obviously, there's a big speedrunning community, but I think this will not be advantageous just to do speedrunning. From what I look at this, you're going to have to go out and kill enemies to transfer them. So if you're a great speedrunner, you may not be as good as this as you think. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how this comes about. So this is obviously for free with your subscription to do this, right? So I'm not shocked that this would have a time limit on this. I'm just not. Because unless there's a way for Nintendo to directly make money off of this, besides it being part of subscription, I can see Nintendo's... I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I can see Nintendo saying, we don't want this to be the game where people were just playing this on the Switch and not playing anything else. I can totally see that. It sucks, but I totally see that.
I find that... I think it's tough to see that as their train of thought. I mean, Tetris is... I don't think that this is going to be a game that people would actually just play and not play anything else. And Tetris wasn't time... Tetris 99 has not been time limited.
But they monetized that. They did.
They gave... Yeah, I mean, they added some DLC to it. They can add DLC to this, too. It bothers me because it flies in the fucking face of game preservation.
Yes, this one more than the other one. Absolutely. This flies in the face of it. Not having this available to play on a server somewhere just for the history of it. Obviously, it'll still exist. It'll still be around.
Yeah, but to purposely make something that is essentially fluff, it's just going to disappear is I definitely don't like that idea.
Well, the good news is that they got 6 months to change their mind. They could be like, wow, this blew up, or maybe we'll add DLC just to monetize it more. I can see that happening. So this is what pissed... This one is the one that pissed me off the most. Not the other one, because that's just a stupid business decision. Yeah, this one annoyed me for that reason. But this one I understood more than the 35th anniversary package being a limited time. This I understood. It just pissed me off more because of that. It's like, well, if you're not making real money off of this, I understand that from a business perspective, you can get rid of it. But it's not good to pull the rug out from under the people that love it. But at least they're telling you from the start, not doing it a week before. They're giving people a chance. And I guarantee you there'll be people that'll be able to offload this and, save this, even if Nintendo does it. But obviously, in this day and age, I don't see how Nintendo would not preserve this game. But it looks fascinating. I don't know how this is actually going to play. This isn't like, Tetris where, hey, you get the same pieces dropping and to start. And then this is going to be interesting to see how this goes. So... And I'll be better at this than on fucking the Tetris one. I think the best I ever got on Tetris, I got to like 20th. I think I was shocked to get that low on the Tetris for those couple weeks I played it there. Will you play this one? Will this one interest you to play?
I'll play this one.
I'm a strong platformer. I'm better than that at puzzle games.
And then lastly, with the Mario...
But I got two more things.
Oh, two more.
You got Game & Watch.
Game & Watch. So they're releasing a Game & Watch form factor, little portable handheld that will have Super Mario 1 and Super Mario 2, the Japanese version, on there on a color LCD screen.
There was a Japanese version? It was different than ours?
Yeah. Yes.
What?
Are you aware? Are you aware of gaming? So it's neat. It's a cute little thing. It's $49.99. It is yet another re-release of Super Mario Brothers.
We're just talking about this.
The video of it made the screen on it look actually kind of crummy, with like some shimmering and tearing on the screen.
I didn't see that video.
Any of them, like it looked weird. Like it just didn't look very high quality. But I think it'll be interesting to see if this thing is hackable. That's the thing that I saw going around immediately, was people wondering if it would be hackable.
What's actually inside there?
Yeah, what's actually in there? That could be fun. But it's a neat little tchotchke. $50.
Under $50?
$50. They were put on pre-order in Europe and Japan. I don't think they've been put up for
order. See, that was confusing. People were like, oh, people are scalping this. I'm like, where can I pre-order this? I don't see where I can even pre-order this.
They were pre-ordering the European and Japanese ones, I'm assuming.
So it's a 2.3x inch screen. So it's a gaming watch, right? It's square. It's interesting that, I don't know, this is what annoys me, that, oh, we'll throw on loss levels, but not another Super Mario. Like, just give us three or four Super Mario. That's what annoys me. It's like, why do that? But you get the proper D-pad we all know and love. You get the B and A. You get the little, you can use it as a clock,
yep,
and as an alarm. Like, so I'm all in on this. I didn't care about the Club Nintendo re-releases at all. Like, did they do, like, two of them? The ball one or another one?
No, they just did one. I have ball.
The ball.
I have ball.
So they produce a ton of those. A lot of people have those. I want this. Like, this is the thing I definitely want. I think this is adorable. And the fact that there is a pre-existing Super Mario Brothers Game & Watch, you know, it's like the, oh, you got the original one, and then you got the one with the actual
full
game.
Yeah, I'm surprised they actually didn't do the...
the original one?
The colors. I was more excited when I thought it was a re-release of the original Super Mario Brothers Game & Watch.
That probably would cost some more money to do than this, though. That's probably
it definitely would.
To go
we're at the point where getting all those, printing all those very special, like, segmented LCD screens, mm-hmm, to do it, as opposed to throwing a cheap LCD screen in a...
Then you gotta print out the fucking little card for the background to slide in there. You know, like, you gotta do all this extra little work. Yeah, it's a lot harder to produce an actual Game & Watch than something like this, where it's, yeah, just a little emulator inside of it and a little fucking, you know, Nintendo on a chip, probably, inside of there.
That's what I'm assuming.
But if it's hackable, that'd be cute. If it's hackable, and I can start playing Contra on this. And an official... It'd be the official way of playing ROMs on a little handheld, I guess.
Contra speedrun guy, speaking of Contra, fucking beat his record again.
I have not...
It's like 9 minutes and 40 seconds or something. Absolutely insane.
Oh, I gotta watch it. I've never watched a Contra speedrun.
It's mind blowing. Anyway, last thing for Mario then is
Mario.
This is one of those things that is cool, but I will probably personally never get any use out of it. Mario Kart Live Home Circuit is an augmented reality Mario Kart game.
Incredible.
It does. It looks very, very cool. It basically, I think the package is going to come with one of the carts and
Mario or Luigi, yeah.
Mario or Luigi, and it comes with the four archways. And basically, you set the archways up and you run your car, you drive your car through the four archways, and you create a course.
There's a camera on the car. And you're watching it on your Switch.
So you drive through to make the course, and then once you've got that figured out, you actually then go and play Mario Kart.
And the course will know, because how you set up, it'll communicate where the archways are to create the lap. But then there's also items that you'll be seeing that you can go over and use on the enemies, and then your car will stop if you, like, hit a banana.
Yep.
If this came out when I was a kid... It's witchcraft to me. It's wizardry things.
Yeah. It's insane. And I thought it was really, really cool looking. And I immediately talked myself down. I was like, I don't need this. And I thought I was doing a good thing there, because I thought if I even mentioned it looking cool, Vani would be like, where the hell would we use this? Vani comes home and goes, did you see that Mario Kart thing? That thing is awesome. And yes. I'm like, yeah, but we couldn't use that anywhere. And she's like, well, she starts looking around. I'm like, no, we literally have no place we can use this. So it's...
Well, it's going to run it on a rug versus a hardwood floor.
It's a neat thing, but I do think that this is as cool as I think it is. I definitely think I will probably be passing on this.
Well, that's the thing. It's like when I saw someone get in a mini debate me, oh, that's too much money. Like, not people aren't going to buy it for... Are you kidding me? It's a toy and a game.
Yeah.
It's a car and the game for $100.
Right.
That's not a bad value for the technology that's going into this. Not, are you kidding me? And then plus, if your friend gets it, your friend comes over with Luigi, then you have two cars going around your fucking living room or outside. People are saying, well, where are you going to do that? It's like, there's basements that exist.
Oh, yeah.
People have basements. You can go outside in your backyard. It's like, there's parts of the country where there's big houses that don't cost a lot of money. Like, you know, there are, unfortunately, that's not San Diego, but other parts of the country, you got finished basements, you know, you have big areas you can do this. Like, that's not the concern. The concern would be, to me, looking at this, well, what's the battery life on the car like? Like, I play for a couple hours, an hour.
Sure.
How much of a beating can these cars take? Like, I can picture some kids. Picture the marketing of this, Ian, of like kids designing their Rube Goldberg machine courses with this.
Oh yeah,
that's gonna happen. You're gonna have some smart, like 10, 12 year old kids think up some cool courses, and it's gonna go viral. Like, this is gonna sell itself.
More excited to see what people do with this than I am to actually play it.
Oh yeah, it's like. Yeah, we're adults. It'd be weird if I go in my backyard with my own car and do it versus playing, you know, Mario Kart 8. No, I get that. But I can totally picture this being a big hit with kids. Do we know what the maximum number of players at one time is?
Is it just two?
Let me look that up real quick. But no, the $100, that's not bad at all for something like this. With the technology that goes into this and how polished this is probably going to be.
Yeah, no, that would have been my guess at a price point, honestly, would have been about $100.
It wasn't going to be $50. You'd be nuts for it to be that. It wouldn't have been that cheap. Let's see. How many can you do? And plus, it's your own little RC car on top of that. You can just drive it around.
Right. You don't need to play it, you know, with the actual game.
It just says multiplayer on the Wikipedia. I'm trying to see, like, what the maximum amount is. Oh, up to four players. Okay.
So that's neat.
And then who knows? Maybe they'll put out extra, different characters in the future. Maybe get the Toad one. You're the freaking rich kid that I hate. Yeah, if you got like all five or six different racers, I got them all here. Come on over, let's play it.
Yeah,
or you can watch me play it. Like those asshole rich kids there. And it's from Volan Studios, which people are saying they do awesome work that they partner with this augmented reality stuff. They say the game's controls were designed to be easy to understand while still remaining faithful to the Mario Kart series. Yeah, you're obviously not going to be doing drifting with an RC car. Sure. We get that. But you're going to be still driving around there. It had the same type of playability as prior Mario Kart games. That's what it says. Up to four players racing against AI is supported. The game is also set to feature a Grand Prix mode where the player will race against Bowser Jr. and the Koopalings. When one, new customization options and costumes for the player's characters will be unlocked. They'll have customization on this for your little race car.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to, the car will react differently.
Mm-hmm.
The physical car, like, that's what the cool part about this is. You're playing with your friend. If I hit you with a shell, your car will stop.
Yeah.
Like, that's, sorry, I'm the augmented reality stuff is cool, but seeing this was a cool surprise to see.
So. Yeah, I was not expecting it.
So they got Mario for the whole family. You got the classic throwback re-release. You got the little battle royale game for the Zoomers out there that like that. You got the radio control car stuff for the kids. You know, they got the Game & Watch for idiots like us that like the old Game & Watch stuff. So
little something for everyone.
All right, Ian.
EA did a scumbag this past week.
It's been a while since EA did something this scumbaggerishly. Scumbagger? What?
Scumbaggerly?
Think of the adverb.
So, UFC 4 comes out. EA's entry into the... They've got something for every sport. And makes it through its review period. About a month after the game comes out this past week, people suddenly start seeing ads pop up in between rounds or before replays in-game. So these are not video ads. These are quick little just like picture ads that kind of appear at the beginning of like the replay bumper like they would in, I guess, if you were watching this on TV.
Sure.
So, it's a scumbag move. Basically, you pay $60 for this game, and it does not have ads in the first month to make sure that it gets through all the review periods without people being like, why am I paying $60 for this game if you're going to show me ads as well? And then they sneak them in. EA, as of the 6th, has now removed in-game ads from UFC 4 after fans flooded the company's social channels with complaints. This is from the Eurogamer article. In a statement to Eurogamer that was also posted on Reddit, EA said earlier this week the team turned on ad placements in EA Sports UFC 4 that appeared during the replay moments in gameplay. This type of advertising inventory is not new to the UFC franchise, though we have typically reserved displaying ads to specific main menu titles or octagon logo placement. So it is new to the UFC franchise. You can't say that you can't. It's a new type of ad that you've magically decided to turn on a month after the game has been released and people have paid you for it. It's a scumbag move. And what I saw was, it's amazing. They always talk about frogs. You know, the parable of the frog. If you put a frog in boiling water and you increase the heat slowly, the frog is never going to notice that it's being cooked to death. There were people out there defending EA for doing this. Well, it's very realistic. It's realistic. I mean, that's how it is in the UFC when you watch the UFC on TV. Shut the fuck up. All right, I mean, not to get us in trouble again, but I don't think anyone's going to be mad at me for saying that. Stop defending these sorts of stupid moves, because you're defending this one day. The next thing is it's going to be a 3-second ad, then a 5-second ad. You're going to be like, well, it's not
so,
that. Like,
so you're saying they're being babies, the ones defending EA are being babies.
Yes, the ones defending EA are being babies. Why would you defend them doing this? It's absolutely indefensible.
Well, the defense is that that's what the on-screen real-life product is like as well. That's your defense. So I see that, and I los cojones of EA to do this. It's like, the slimy, like, I smile because it's so slimy that EA does this stuff. Going back to charging for gasoline in their mobile game, their Need for Speed game years back, where it's like, it's so bold to do that. And the fact that they don't expect the backlash is just funny. It's like, yeah, is this
a new surprise mechanic that they're working on?
Yeah, surprise mechanic. Yeah, it's like, it's not that it's over quick, but it's not the point. It's like, it wasn't ever in the game, and you decide to flip the switch and advertise the Amazon The Boys Season 2. Great show, by the way. And that's just coming, just launched Season 2. I guess, yeah. I mean, the advertisements on the canvas, that's part. I mean, would you complain about that? Nah, I wouldn't complain about that. I mean, because that's, you don't ever
notice
on that.
But like,
that's expected, I guess.
My thing is that they did it after the review period to sneak it by.
That's the bad part.
So that there isn't some, you know, that there aren't reviews going like, okay, the advertising is getting a little heavy. And who knows? Maybe they wouldn't have even said that. Because, I mean, the people who, for whatever reason, are defending it have a point. Sure, visually, it goes along with how UFC is presented on TV, but it's the sneakiness.
Yeah, it's the sneakiness. This commenter said,
to think that they got something by you.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind the commercials if it was a free-to-play game, commented Redditor Ryan Goddard 84. But the full retail price plus being bombarded with advertisements is a real slap in the face. It was just if it was just on the octagon canvas, then it would actually be pretty cool. So they're saying maybe replace one of the logos that are there for that. That's a good idea. Or if it was just a little trailer in the corner of the screen for 5 seconds.
EA did that with Burnout Paradise, a game that I really liked, where when you would be playing online, the billboards like in the game, the ads would change. But you knew buying the game that there were billboard ads on there. Like, that's what I'm saying.
This is an interesting twist. In July 2020, the Wall Street Journal reported, we must have missed this news, reported that AT&T's WarnerMedia ran 3 ad tests within February 2018's UFC 3, probably why hardly anyone noticed, back in May, promoting Turner Properties, Rick and Morty, Snowpiercer, and The Match. So they did this in a small, in UFC 3, just... Well, this is the dangerous part about this now. They're starting to treat this like any other part of advertising. Well, we can target these gamers so they'll only see the advertising. That's where it gets fucked up after you paid for it. That's where it is. Again, if it was free to play, I'd say, well, it's free to play. They can do what they want. But you paid $60 for this. That's kind of weird.
People also, like I said, they read reviews to find out about games. If this was a known thing and there was a chance... just let people know this up front. I think the advertising is shitty, but if they got to do all this advertising, fine. But don't change the amount of advertising in it after release.
In July, credit reporting company Experian started a test within UFC 3 for its Experian Boost product, which aims to help people increase their credit score. The test ad featured celebrity spokesman John Cena. Cena's getting out there with everything nowadays. He's advertising for a credit booster. And they put that in the UFC 3 to test that? That's not even like the same audience. Really. Yeah, everyone's worried about their credit score, but that doesn't even line up.
It's weird.
So do a protein bar or something in that, or I don't know. It's part of reaching a wider, younger audience that isn't necessarily watching telly, according to the marketers. This is from the Eurogamer audience. I love how they say telly. I wish we used telly instead of TV. The Wall Street Journal noted that video game executives were mindful of the backlash from gamers, and that's exactly what they've got now with the Amazon adverts and UFC 4. Perhaps they viewed a potential negative reaction as the cost of doing business. Well, not this big.
Yeah.
Then he asks, what's next? An advert you have to watch at halftime in FIFA 21? Hey, if this went over, that's what you would have saw.
Right.
You would have saw a 15-second ad at halftime before you can click continue.
Yeah, what's next? When I play the football game, I have to stop fucking playing and watch 20 minutes of commercials every you know, multiple times during the game?
Well, it's fine. It's realistic, so...
Yeah, you can't...
Eat me.
You have to draw the line somewhere. I would draw the line at, like, advertising, like, as a commercial. Like, for stuff that's right now, that's where I would draw the line.
Yes.
Put it on the fucking mat, sure, we get that. It's not too noticeable, and I think most people would be acceptable with that. But all right, well, it seems like every couple of years we have this with EA. I mean, Battlefront debacle was, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
With the deal. Was that 2 years ago already?
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
So, but the backlash, now you have proper... better Star Wars games coming out, like the fucking X-Wing Squadrons.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. I still want a remaster of X-Wing, but at least EA's going in the right direction there. All right, Ian, we have some more online cheaters complaining. This is for GTA Online. A bunch of cheaters and exploit people are being punished.
Yay.
Rockstar wiping out players, all their progression money and unlocks being gone. This is from the Polygon article. So a recent disciplinary wave hit GTA Online in late August. They took aim at cheaters who abused a glitch that allowed them to amass huge riches without much effort. The exploit, which was known by the community as the apartment garage glitch, allowed players to purchase properties only to then use a variety of menus to trick the game into gifting you millions of in-game dollars within minutes. The method was effective enough that videos showcasing how to pull it off were met with copyright strikes on YouTube from Take-Two Interactive, the game's publisher. Players who already used the apartment garage glitch, meanwhile, might have logged on recently only to be met with a warning that their accounts were completely reset, meaning that not only did these cheaters lose the money they gained, they also lost everything else in the process. As well. As part of our ongoing efforts to maintain a healthy game environment to all players, anyone found to be abusing exploits and cheats to illegitimately gain GTA money and in-game items may be subject to penalties, including cash balance adjustments, character resets, suspensions, and up to permanent bans as appropriate. Okay, so obviously there are people that were upset that this happened that used this glitch. This is from Adam Patron. So I've been playing GTA Online since 2014. It's so stupid how they patch these money glitches and then reset our accounts instead of a money wipe. Yet Rockstar keeps the God mode glitches in the game for the griefers. Goodbye, GTA. Rockstar, you guys messed up. Yep, my GTA account has been reset. Uninstalling the game, someone said. It wasn't our fault nor anyone else's. You left that glitch in there. Bye-bye, money-hungry fuckers. The guy using the money exploit glitch complaining that Rockstar is money hungry fuckers. That's irony right there. Fuck GTA. All I ever did was take advantage of a shitty little apartment glitch, which everyone else did. I get banned with character profile. I'll reset and nothing happens to my mates. Played this shit game for years. It was such a shitty game they played for years.
Yes.
And with no real way to earn quick big money. And I suddenly... get that wiped. All right, and there's more we can go over. So, more schadenfreude for this. Again, this is an online game, so you exploiting and or cheating affects the experience, not just of yourself, but other players. So, it breaks the terms of service, user level agreement. I have absolutely zero sympathy for these people. You should have known it was coming at some point.
I don't think this is necessarily as egregious as Mr. Gold's.
But this is still, you're still fucking up other people.
You are playing an online game.
Why don't you bring up good old Mr. Gold's?
Huh?
Why don't you bring up Mr. Gold?
Because we talked about him last week, and it's the second week in a row we're talking about cheating in online games. It's relevant. I don't think it's as egregious as him, and I don't know exactly what the money does in GTA Online, but I know that it allows you to basically unbalance it.
You can buy cool shit to fuck things up.
You can, it'll unbalance it. I've seen this. I don't like this defense. I've seen this defense used before in other online games. Well, you left the glitch in there. Doesn't mean you have to use it.
You know it's not...
People are human. Yeah.
You know it's breaking the terms of service.
It says in the terms of service that you cannot abuse these glitches. It does not matter if it was left there.
Sure. It doesn't matter if they didn't patch out another one yet. That doesn't excuse it. There's no whataboutism when it comes to stuff.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. I don't think this is quite as bad as, you know, aimbotting your way through Warzone. But it's still, like you said, it affects the experience for other people. And it's right there in the terms of service. Even if it didn't affect anyone else, you play online on their servers. You choose to abide by their rules. It's that fucking simple.
Well, it does directly affect in terms of it's demoralizing in terms of.
I said it did.
Well, I mean, like it does two things. It fucks up if I'm playing and you just go. From what I hear about, like you can fuck with other people's missions by having these overpowered items or vehicles. It builds into the griefing people doing that.
Right.
But also, it's demoralizing. I'm actually working to get these items legitimately, and all of a sudden I see this asshole. With this vehicle or what have you, automatically the people complaining about it is so weird. So who else is no longer playing the game after the account reset? 7 years old, and they've only offered heists. I think if you played a game for 7 years, they got you, Rockstar. Like they got you.
Yeah,
you didn't get one over them by quitting after 7 years. Right. They got you.
Yeah, maybe just don't announce that you're leaving the game. Like you look silly. You look being like
you look like an asshole saying, "Well, not only did I cheat, but I was playing for 7 years.
This game sucks anyways.
This game sucks.
Then why did you spend all that time on it?
Yeah, exactly. The game was fine. You don't get to cheat and exploit anymore. You know, Some players claim they were illegitimately caught in the reset wave, while others straight up taunting Rockstar for not catching him. Well, that's going to be smart. You're going to taunt Rockstar in social media if they look into your account, potentially. Yeah. I guess if they can't link it, but, you know, who knows if they have ninja hackers that know that. It's not going to be perfect. Some are excusing the use of the glitch by describing GTA Online as a grindy game, or are shocked that Rockstar would go this far, rather than just deleting the money. Well, you still screwed up the experience of people. It's like just deleting the money is not going to do it because you fucked up the whole ecosystem. Others are confused that Rockstar would enact such measures when the MMO has, in their view, much larger cheating problems hailing from malicious players. Well, yeah, they can take care of that as well. It's not like they can focus on different things at once. That's like saying, well, let's not have any speeding ticket laws.
The game might be crap. And the game may have many problems that warrant people not playing the game. But then don't play the game.
Sure. That's like saying, well, we can't go after people that are stealing because we have people murdering. And you can do different things at one time. You can go after people that steal cars and people that are murder people. Like, even though the crimes aren't one-to-one the same. Like, I fucking hate that thought about things. Oh, what about this? Shut the fuck up. That's not... Life's a little more complex than this is more important. Shut up. One fan said they knew the risk, no sympathy. All I can say on the matter is that people should have known better. They should have known better. That's it.
Sure.
So I hope this happens more. I cannot imagine embarrassing myself saying, well, this game sucks. I've played for 7 years.
Yeah. That's just fucking dumb.
How many games in the history of gaming that people are still playing 7 years in? There's like probably 10 games where people have played for 7 years in a row. Like a huge amount of people.
Right.
Not even probably. Minecraft, you know, like World of Warcraft. Any other crafts? Like there's not many games that...
Other crafts.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that's just fine. Anything else to add? I think we got our point across there.
Done. I'm getting hangry.
As I say, you got snappy at me. Mr. Gold. I was just curious you brought up Mr. Gold. All right, Ian, we have a We have a Patreon poll topic, Ian.
We do. You go to patreon.com. Patreon.com/CU Podcast. You go...
it's like a vending machine, Ian, right?
It's like a vending machine.
Someone's got to bang on it to get out things that run the little...
Yeah, you press the tier buttons, and you insert your dollars, and things come out. Speaking of banging on the machine, I've got to get... I'm a day behind on a writing, so I've got to get a writing done today, maybe tomorrow morning. I know what I'm going to write about, though. I've got a couple games I've been playing.
Write Cobra Kai.
I could also write about Tony Hawk 1 and 2.
Oh, there you go.
I could write about the new Captain Tsubasa game. That's the soccer game with crazy special moves. Yeah, I've been playing some stuff.
So Ian writes, he does a Google Hangout once a month. It probably won't be this weekend, maybe the weekend after, because I might do mine this weekend.
I was going to say, I could do mine this weekend.
And then also, we have Patreon poll topic you vote on every week. And unfortunately, this week you will not hear my beautiful dulcet tones. In third place, are Nintendo fans being entitled or wanting a Nintendo Direct, or should Nintendo have better communication with their fans? 24%. Why don't they just announce a new Zelda game?
Yeah.
Nintendo's doing fine with that. In second place, tips for a new game store, employee 30%. And in first place, Ian, are there games that you associate with going back to school?
So this was an interesting one, because sometimes it's tough for us to come up with these topics. Mondays usually involve a period of silence where Pat and I try to think of something to add to the poll topic. We've been doing this for 7 years now.
We've been doing this for seven years. Just like GTA Online. It turned to GTA Online.
Yeah. So we've been doing this for 7 years, so sometimes it's hard to come up with these questions. And sometimes Pat and I will just say things that sound like they could be a reasonable question, and then realize that there's no real answer to it. Well, Pat said, games that remind you of going back to school. I'm like, that's a weird thing to think of, but I do. Good. I have two games that remind me of going back to school.
You didn't say it was weird yesterday.
Well, no, in my head, I was like, that's weird, but I immediately realized that there are actually two games that make me think of going back to school.
I'm not as stupid as I look.
No, I didn't say you were, but you were like, I don't know that I have any. And I was like, actually...
No, I said in the phone I had a couple.
You were like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I might just talk about Civilization again.
Well, I will talk about Civilization 2 again.
Yeah, so there's more behind the curtain.
There's more than that.
I have two games that remind me of going back to school. The first one is Final Fantasy VII. Final Fantasy VII came out on 9/7/97, I believe, was the release date of it. So that would have been right around that time. That was my freshman year of high school. And it reminds me of going back to school because, well, it came out then, but I was with my first girlfriend at the time, and I did not have a PlayStation 1 yet. But I pre-ordered Final Fantasy VII because I was like, this game looks like it's going to be fun. She had a PlayStation 1, and I was like, well, we can fuck around and play this. And she was very nice to me, and she lent me her PlayStation on weekends, and I played through Final Fantasy VII before I actually owned my own PlayStation. I didn't get a PlayStation until that...
Your girlfriend let you borrow her PlayStation?
Yeah, she let me borrow her PlayStation on weekends to play Final Fantasy VII.
When was she going to be playing it?
She was generally over at my place watching me play Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, so she's brought it. It sounded like she's dropped it off.
She would leave it there. She would leave it there. She lent me the PlayStation on the weekends. I don't know how simpler to make it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very nice of her. And then I would give her the game, and she would play the game during the week. So we were roughly on the same page with Final Fantasy VII. We were kind of playing it in unison. I had her PlayStation on weekends, and she took the game on weekdays. A weird little custody thing there with games and systems. But I'll always remember it because I remember leaving middle school. Like I said, this was my freshman year. Leaving middle school, video games were very unpopular still. Going into my freshman year of high school, the PlayStation was getting more and more popular. It had received a price drop or two by that point, and this Final Fantasy VII game came out and blew everyone away with all of its fucking cutscenes and shit like that. And suddenly, people that I had never talked to about video games before were talking to me about video games because Final Fantasy VII was this, you know, big thing that people were partaking in. It was one of the first times I remember a role-playing game or a story-based video game kind of being like an event that people talked about in social circles at school. The other one that reminds me of going back to school is Sonic Adventure. The Dreamcast came out on 9999, so that would have been right around the beginning of school again. And that was also when I got my wisdom teeth pulled. And I got my Dreamcast, and I got Sonic Adventure on launch day. I think it was the first system I paid for entirely by myself. I just paid for it with restaurant money. And got home and was bummed because I ended up with one of the copies of Sonic Adventure that was... what's the word I'm looking
glitch?
For? Yeah, flawed. Basically, there was a print run. There was a print run of Sonic Adventure that just did not work when it came out. It wouldn't run on any Dreamcast system. It was just defective. That's the word I'm looking for. Jesus.
Are those worth any money nowadays?
No.
I wonder? No.
No. And every once in a while, we still get one at Luna, and then I promptly just destroy it.
Is there anything on... You destroy it?
Yeah. I toss it. So it doesn't fucking get sold again and again and again to people for money that they can't play.
Is there anything that on the outside that you can tell it and you can't?
No. So I couldn't play it, and I was upset. Bummed. Got my wisdom teeth out. I remember GameStop calling me and being like, hey, we've got your replacement copy of Sonic Adventure in. My mom went and picked it up for me, and I played through that game that weekend on painkillers, you know, constantly rinsing blood out of my mouth. But I beat the entire game. So that one always reminds me of going back to school.
Okay.
What about you?
Oh, sorry. I was going to see if they're on eBay and defective Sonic Adventures, if they're actually worth anything or not, because I had no idea. I never thought about that. What was the limited edition one that they put out? I know there's a limited edition one. Anyway, so I'll just go over Civilization 2 again, because that was more of summer, but I played Civilization 2 sophomore. It was the sophomore year summer vacation, and I did that instead of doing my summer reading. So I fudged some of my tests coming back from summer reading that fall. I'll just say I fudged some of them. I read some, you know, there was the little fucking synopsis books. What the hell are they called?
Cliff's Notes.
Yeah, there was another brand, though, that was better than that some of us knew about that was a little more fleshed out.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is, but there is another one. Yes.
So I might have read some of that, but I would also read the first chapter of some of the books. I did 90% of my summer reading. I managed to catch up. For God's sakes, I read Great Expectations, I think, that summer, or one of the summers. It's still one of my favorite books. So Civilization 2, absolutely. But then I thought about it's really the fall. We're talking about the fall, back to school, September.
Sure.
Mortal Monday was in September of 93.
Yeah, you're right.
That was a big deal. My friend got the game. I didn't get it. My friend Joey, he was the athletic, all-around good kid that, you know, I'd hang out with after school sometimes, because he lived like 5 blocks from the school. So he didn't have to, he walked home. So sometimes I just walk home with him. My mom would pick me up. We had these like half days once a month for teacher conference stuff. So you get out like 12. Sure. It was great. It was like the first Wednesday of every month or something, or second Wednesday. You get out at 12 o'clock. So you had the whole day to play. You had 5 hours to play. That's like porn to a kid. You know, like, it's ridiculous. You play street hockey. I made some street tennis here and there. We actually walked to the real tennis courts. So that September, he got Mortal Kombat. And he got both. His brother and him, they had Genesis and Super Nintendo. So we played the Super Nintendo version. I'm like, wow, this is horrible. But then we played the Genesis version. I'm like, wow, there's blood, but this is still horrible.
Horrible, yeah.
And they're both not good games.
No, they're both very bad.
But I'll remember that as long as I live, is that he had the blood code going already, because that was known pretty early when the game came out, or they basically freely advertised it for the Genesis one. You know, we played Mortal Kombat. You know, the first thing I said was, wow, that looks lame, seeing Johnny Cage put half his leg into the guy's chest. You know, I was like, that's kind of weird. You know? But I'll never remember that, because that was like literally like 2 weeks into school year. Like, yeah. Playing that. That's when you're still like not sick of school yet. Like the first few weeks of school, it's like, nothing major yet, no major projects, maybe a couple of tests, a couple of weeks in. Like, you're not into school yet, a couple of weeks in. The reality hasn't sunk in yet, where you're like, I want to kill myself. I hated. There were some years of grade school I dreaded because I hated my teacher so much. I dreaded going to school every day. Like that wasn't made up. Like I dreaded going to school in like third grade, fourth grade. I dreaded going to school.
Sixth grade, I dreaded.
By seventh and eighth, I didn't care as much, but I dreaded it.
By eighth grade, I didn't mind so much because I had made some friends. Seventh grade wasn't the worst, but sixth grade was not good.
Wasn't good, and I was a good student too. And it's like, yeah, I was picked on, but other kids were picked on too. That wasn't part of it. I just dreaded some of my teachers.
No, I hated that. That's what I. Yeah. With sixth grade for me, it was weird because I had gone from Catholic school up until fourth grade, then. From fourth grade, I went to public school in fifth grade. So I went from knowing everyone to 1 year in the local elementary school, and then immediately into middle school. So it was just all this changing shit. But it wasn't necessarily the kids. Like, that I can deal with. There were some assholes. But yeah, I genuinely hated most of my teachers my sixth grade year.
Sure. Yeah, we didn't do the class rotation like middle school style until like sixth or seventh grade, where before that it was just the one teacher teaches you everything, or they'd have maybe one teacher swap out to teach you science. But for the most part, for the first up until fifth grade, that one teacher taught you mostly everything.
Right.
Like not all, but maybe like 80% before we started doing the rotations, sure. Where you'd have your one teacher teach you what they were special at, then you'd have three other teachers that would teach other stuff. But for the first 4 years, no, that you were stuck with that asshole teacher, mm-hmm. teaching you science and math and English and everything else. So, yeah, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Worse than high school. High school, I didn't mind that much. High school. With the class rotations, it was fine to me. But I still have some of my nightmares. My nightmares are mostly all school themed. My nightmares consist of me, as an aside, waking up Sunday night realizing I didn't write a 10-page paper due next morning. Missing my school bus in grade school, which happened a couple times, which is horrifying as a kid. Or not remembering where my locker is in high school.
Mm.
Not even not remembering my combination. Not knowing where my locker is. Because I forgot my combination once in high school, and I had to cut it somehow. I don't know how. Because I still remember my lock combination. I still own the lock, literally from 20 years ago. Almost 20 years ago here. 25 years ago. Holy shit, I'm old. But those are my nightmares. Sorry. All right. So back to games that remind us to go back to school. So, got Mortal Monday.
Got fucking Whiplash.
From what? Sorry. My nightmares are very specific and always about school.
I have a nightmare a lot that I forget to put on shoes and socks. And I'll be sitting on, like, a train. And I'll be like, why? What
on
the
a train, specifically?
Yeah, like, on a train or a bus.
That's disgusting on a bus.
Why the
socks?
Fuck do I not have shoes and socks on? It's awful.
Fumigate your feet after that. Fucking Lysol the shit out of them. I'm trying to think. Any other ones? Street Fighter 2, that came out in, like, July. So that
I was going to say, I remember that's that more a summer game. Yeah.
So that I'm more associated with summer. I remember bringing it down the shore of Seaside Heights and playing that in the little fucking 14-inch TV in the front of the house and the little porch area.
The summer that came out, I mean, that game was fucking everywhere. I played it at my friend Kevin's house. Speaking of, it makes sense, as Cobra Kai, I went to a black belt mill for a little while myself.
Black belt mill?
That's what I call them. Like the fucking little strip mall karate studios, yeah, that just churn out fucking, hey, everyone gets
everyone
a belt.
In the 80s. Yeah.
Everyone gets a belt.
Hey, pay me $300, get you a yellow belt.
I remember Taz. That was his name. I remember Taz after fucking, instructions that summer. We'd wheel out this little fucking TV and we'd fucking sit there and play Street Fighter after karate.
You never told me you did karate, ever.
Yeah.
We're gonna hit the heavy bag out there. I want to see your reverse punch.
I can't fucking throw a punch. It's gonna fucking shatter my neck bones.
I gotta get you on some yoga. People were bringing up, what about Madden games going back to school and FIFA? I never played FIFA games ever. I had Madden, a couple of Madden games as a kid. I had Madden 93 on Super Nintendo, but it's a little bit past September. But they came out in September. NHL games always remind me of going back to school because Billy would always get the new one on the Genesis. So like he had NHL 92 and 93. So we would always, we'd always play those. That's late September those came out. Sometimes it's September. So that's back to school. So it'd be good old street hockey, followed by, playing.
Was the Billy you knew an asshole as well?
Oh, yeah. Billy, I told the story one time where he'd be nice when he'd throw me in the puddle.
Yeah.
He would be nice, but then his parents were assholes, so he would turn on me and act like a dick one day. So then I'd say, I'd say basically, screw you, I go home. Then he'd call and apologize. So, like, he was a troubled kid.
Sure.
Kevin was just a dick.
I knew a Billy when I was in Catholic school. That was... he was like, I remember somewhere around like second grade, he got too cool for fucking school and started to become an asshole. And I'll always remember him giving me and this other kid shit. And we were sick of it. And this was like second grade. So I feel like I've told this story on here before. It's one of my favorite stories. So little Billy the asshole gets up and walks away.
Little Billy the asshole
gets up and walks away. And my friend decides he's going to do the one of the biggest things I've ever seen someone do at lunch. He's going to sacrifice his Hostess cupcake to the greater good. He takes his Hostess cupcake and puts it on Billy's chair. Billy comes back and sits on the Hostess cupcake, cream and chocolate all over the back of his pants. Looks like he shit himself. I never saw a kid go from I'm a hard ass to I'm in tears so quick in my life. And I feel like an asshole laughing about it. Because I will always, it was second grade, man. I'll never forget this kid just thinking he was the coolest, being an asshole, sitting on a Hostess cupcake and just melting the fuck down in the cafeteria.
All right. I thought you'd say like fifth grade, second grade. You're like 7 years old still.
Fuck that kid. Anyways.
Well, so anyway, go back to my bill. Yeah. So actually, yeah. So on the Genesis, NHL 93 came out September 92. So I remember the first NHL on Genesis we played a lot, obviously. Was it NHL 91 was the first one on Genesis? It was this NHL hockey? 91, 92, 93. So we played 92 and 93 a lot. They would actually play him and Randy wasn't dick down the street. Randy would push me around because they were 2 years older than me. 2 years old, we said, was a lot when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Between 10 and 8 or whatever, or 11 and 13. So they would play season stats because it wasn't kept track on the game. They would actually record their own stats on like paper. So that was cool. I think he played as Brett Hull in the Blues. You know, real tough with Brett Hull with his fucking slap shot went in half the time he shot it in those games. Jesus Christ, sorry. God, I need a blue sweater. I always like that symbol. So that's it. So yeah, NHL, Mortal Kombat, Civilization for me, Doom. I will always associate Doom with Back to School. In particular, I think Doom 2. And I'm not sure it came out in September.
Yeah, I remember whatever. Yeah.
When did Doom come out? No, Doom came out in October.
Okay.
Okay, so that's Back to School. So this is how it happened with Doom. It was my sophomore year. I don't think I had Doom 2. I didn't have Doom 2 when it came out the first year. I don't think I did. Or I had the demo, maybe. So this was my... No, it was freshman year. That was my freshman year. I had my physics class. No, biology. Biology class, they partnered you up with someone not your same age. He was a sophomore, the kid next to me.
Okay.
Pretty nice kid. And he managed to get... Well, somehow he copied Doom 2 onto some floppies and he gave him the pet. Well, it was on like two. It was on like three floppies or so.
You copied the floppy.
He copied the 3.5 diskette, and that's how I played Doom 2. He gave it to me, and that must have been a late October. It's back to school. My freshman year, I made a good friend, and Pat may have gotten maybe two discs to combine for a 12-second porn video. I remember that it was on like two different discs, and they had to be combined. What was the combining program back then? Do you remember what it was?
I can't.
F-disk or whatever it was?
Yeah, something like that.
And it was like, because this is like right when the internet was starting to get, bigger. 94, I don't think we were fully online yet in 94. We could do the trials and stuff. We were starting in 94. But seeing like a 12-second video in grainy, like 120 by 80, resolution, that was a special experience.
I remember. I recall.
But I'll never forget, I think it was on two floppies. It wasn't even on one. So it's like, the anticipation of like combining the two floppies together. It's like, in DOS. seeing the meter go for percentage complete. I'm pretty sure it was two floppies for that. And the actual video is embedded in my head, too. Not to get detailed. Remember that video.
Cool. We can leave it at that.
All right, well, thanks for the Patreon question there.
And thanks for the podcast.
Are you bailing on the Q&A?
I am bailing on the Q&A because I got to pee, and if I got to pee, I'm not going to come back for just a Q&A.
Wow.
We're going to shut it down.
We got five full topics. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I'll allow it. We got five full topics. I'll allow it.
right. Allowed. I think I'm going to have a cheesesteak for lunch.
Make your own?
No, I'm going to order today. I cooked all weekend, so... I worked and cooked all weekend, so I think I'm going to order
something. Tell the audience about my chili.
Your chili was good.
Surprisingly good? Yeah. Did you bring out my Tupperware?
I did. It's on your counter.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Now I want to make more chili, because I feel like making more turkey chili. I lost like 3 pounds or 2 pounds because all I was eating was chili, not because of that. Because it's like, it's good for you. Beans and protein and meat.
Yeah.
Like, I can live off of chili, I think. And the cornbread. Just a little bit of cornbread on the side for carbs.
Cornbread was delicious.
Fucking perfect. Now I'm starving, goddammit.
All right.
Well, thanks for supporting us here in the podcast. Click the join button if you're on YouTube. Click the join button if you want. All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.